Misfits Motorsports is more than a racing team. It's a mission. Dedicated to our nation's veterans, the Misfits mission raises awareness for veteran suicide while providing support, purpose, and opportunities for veterans and youth. Together, we're driving change. Learn more on Facebook at Misfits Mission. Hey guys, welcome to the Ginger Veteran Podcast. I'm your host, Fred Gregory. I'm here today with Andrew. He is a Army veteran. He wanted to come on the show and kind of do an interview and just share his story. So Andrew is going to kind of take over on this front. You guys have heard my interviews before. Sometimes I like to ask questions, sometimes I don't. I'm going to let Andrew give a little bit of his story. We're probably going to work backwards on this one today. So we're going to start with about where he's at, and we're going to work the way back to see how he got there, and then probably just wrap it up with a little bit of back and forth conversation and sit here and enjoy the time. So Andrew, I'll let you go ahead and give your intro and get started with your story.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, let's see. Currently, as of, let's go, 2 weeks ago, fresh diagnosis from the VA for bipolar disorder type 2. 31 years old. No one's ever told me that before. I've been screened all kinds of times for mental health disorders, so it hit a little bit differently. One of those where somebody who already has a distrust of the current medical system in the United States, and there may or may not be, you know, some incompetence going on inside of most hospitals, let alone the VA. So, you know, I kind of asked the therapist, how did we come up with that? You know, I was in here for screening, as far as I knew, to see how my anxiety was doing. He goes, well, here's your sheets. Pulls up the screenings for the ADHD, anxiety, and bipolar disorder type 2. No screening markers for ADHD, which kind of blew me away. And almost every single one of them for the bipolar disorder type 2, as well as the anxiety, which I'm already 70% disabled for, so I was acutely aware of that. He prescribed me some medications, said, you know, they'll come in the mail. Okay. Kind of still taken back by it. Like, man, do I have this? Is it, do I trust him? What do I do?
Yeah.
Talked to my wife about it, and she was like, well, why don't you give it a shot? Try what the meds are and see how it goes. Well, about 2 weeks in, and I can tell you that the meds are working at least a little bit. So that in itself is a whole other question I have, is, well, how long did I have this? How did I get this?
Yeah, again, and you said you've gotten regular mental health screenings, so why is it being
whether
caught?
Whether I like it or not, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that's how I started working backwards with the VA doctor here. And he goes over my medical records, and he goes, you know, you had this injury where you lost consciousness back in training. That's where we found your anxiety to come from with that. It's possible that you had a TBI, and that can cause all kinds of issues, which maybe I'm silly. I didn't know that you get bonked in the head and you can get anxiety, depression, anything more than, oh, my head hurts a couple days, I'm good, a concussion if you really get it. I wasn't aware of any of that, which seems silly, but I have memory issues related to it. So let's back up a little bit. How did I end up at the VA? I got out of the Army in 2016. I did not start receiving any VA care until 2022. Part of that being that whether I wanted to admit it, I was, you know, oh, I'm fine, everything's okay, till I move home and people that I've known for a long time are going, "Hey, you're not quite the same anymore. You should probably get that looked at."
Yeah.
One example. I've always been a pretty mellow dude. but I have a fuse, right? As everybody does.
Yeah.
We bought our house here in 2022, and it had never been hooked up to the internet, cable TV, nothing. It's built in the 60s. The folks that had it before us, they just weren't about it. They had an antenna, and they didn't need the internet.
Honestly, that sounds commendable. Amazing.
Commendable. Yeah, amazing. Unfortunately for us, we bought it in December, so the ground's frozen, tons of snow. And the cable company said, well, we're going to have to come out in the springtime and put it in. Long story short, it took me about 6 months to get internet to my house, and that was only after getting asked to leave the lobby of the Xfinity store for telling the manager how his employee telling me they didn't have an answer, let me get the manager, i.e. he comes out. Same guy who scheduled my appointment, X, Y, and Z, to get the cable up, and which is now months past, and tells me, well, I have no control over what gets, you know, said. It's not like it's a contract.
Wow.
Who do you manage? What do you do as the store manager, sir? So we disagreed. So part of it is, you know, the world's a crazy place nowadays, and I might have a short fuse. And part of it is maybe you need more of a brake pedal, so you're not ready to throttle the Xfinity guy over something that's really, he's not out putting it on, you know, hooking it up, right?
Yeah. I mean,
okay. You get it, but you also, like,
yeah.
Again.
You know, sometimes it's not a short fuse. Sometimes it's just, sometimes your fuse is really long. They just burn it up pretty quick.
Yes, which is what my assumption was for a very long time.
Yeah.
But when you start having panic attacks about going to dinner with your in-laws, not the usual ones, a little more extreme where you drive the hour there and you get all the way there and you can't get out of the car.
Yeah.
And you don't know why. And you can't explain it to anybody. And you have to come up with a solution of you can't get out of the car. What do you do now? So it starts to impede on everybody else's life, including my wife and my 6-month-old. So I started to seek help. That's how we ended up there. So talking with the VA doctors, they want me to do blood work and they want me to go, you know, I'm sure you know, tons of tests here and there.
Yep.
Part of that is they find, you know, in the blood work, oh, hey, you have signs of a vitamin D deficiency. What could that be? So then they go down the rabbit hole, and now they're looking at your liver. And so how much of this is, you know, what is real? What is incompetence? What is it?
Right.
Part of this distrust in the medical field comes from my care in the Army.
Yeah.
So we talked about it a little bit, my accident, what happened to me, got hit in the head, went unconscious. I remember bits and pieces. I remember that I was working on an air conditioner and a Striker. I might not have had a Kevlar on my head. It was hot. We were in NTC. Not the right answer, but it happens. And I hit my head on the bulkhead, getting into the vehicle or getting through the middle of the vehicle by the gunner station there. That was it. Went lights out. Don't know how long. Woke up. Obvious signs of concussion. Vomiting. Dizziness. Can't catch my balance. Friend of mine, still a good friend of mine, was the one who woke me up. He goes, hey man, we need to get you a med tent. So they bring me the med tent. VA comes through and says, hey, yeah, he's got signs of concussion. Go ahead and sleep it off. Okay. What? What was that? Yeah, just make sure you get some water and get him out of the sun, have him take a nap.
I was about to say, did they give you water and ibuprofen before they put you to bed?
Water, yes.
Yeah. No ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen with bears, right? We're in the field. So they only had about 50 pounds of that on hand. So
Yeah, they got to save it for everybody else.
Right. So I didn't know where I I was, exactly what I was doing, but I knew who I was, and that I was in the Army. Obviously, I was working. So, like, the memory was fuzzy.
Yeah.
When I woke up the second day, much worse. Still vomiting and that. They tell me to kind of, well, take it easy at work today. I was a 91 Charlie HVAC guy. So the air conditioning guy in the field in NTC, and taking it easy. There's two of you for your battalion, right? So,
yep.
No. A couple hours after that, he put me in the sun, and I was trying to fist fight my coworker. That's never happened before. I'm not an angry guy. Again, check the box. That's a concussion, right?
Yep.
So they end up, okay, something's clearly not right. They send me off to Fort Irwin for going to the hospital via Humvee. Funny anecdote, in the back of the Humvee with me, there's a poor fellow that had a kidney stone that was like 14 millimeters.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and he was in the field for like 15 days with that before they sent him to the hospital for it. Ugh. So I feel bad for that guy. If he's out there listening, holy moly, man, they got it. But,
that's, oof. Oh, man, that is absolutely miserable.
Going, right, like they didn't fly him on a helicopter. He's hitting the bumps and just, man. So I felt a little better about myself at the time.
All I got's a concussion. I'm good.
Yeah, man. At least my brain's the thing that hurts. So we're good there. I don't use this thing that much. So they got me to the hospital. They did some CT scans and some basic stuff. I was an E3, so my level of feedback from the doctors at the time was pretty minimal from what I can remember. It was thumbs up or thumbs down and, okay, send him to the white cell.
Yeah.
So that in itself, sure, the unexplained time of unconsciousness, that can explain quite a bit of the mental health issues. Again, none of this occurred before I went unconscious. So I didn't have anxiety. I didn't try to fight my coworkers. It wasn't the same. Now, after this, there's an event that happened right following that, right? So they send me to the white cell 3 or 4 days post-concussion now. And white cell, for viewers or listeners that aren't familiar, is when you get hurt in the Army and they can't get you back to your unit right away, they put you on like a light duty and they put all the broken people together, right? So
yep.
Being that I got hit in the head, they were like, well, you can't really do much. How about being a crossing guard for couple days? That sound okay? Sure. After a few days, you're starting to feel a little bit better from a concussion. Generally, it's been about a week now. So I go to the white cell commander and go, hey, I really want to get back to my unit. I was a 240 gunner, lead gun truck, HVAC guy. Like, I know it's hot, man. These guys, they need me. I wanted to get back out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, we might have a bird for you tomorrow. But start looking at it. You're in the field for 30 days. Accident happens a week and a half into the field. Now 2.5 weeks. What resources are we going to spend to fly one guy out there? Not a lot. They couldn't get me back out there. So daily they would try. They would try to send me in a Humvee. But they wouldn't have room, whatever it may be. Meanwhile, I go back to doing the crossing guard stuff, and still having memory issues. I was having like random episodes of crying, pain, but nothing that I was like, well, I can't explain this. I was frustrated. Looking back, I was like, I was having severe brain issues. But at the time,
the memory issues that you're describing, were you forgetting long-term memories, or was it like a short, like, I can't remember what I did this morning?
I can't remember why I'm doing this, what I'm doing it for. Like, I would lose more of like cognitive function, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like my processing power was way reduced. So again, as a mechanic, I could take apart anything. I've been doing it since I was a kid, and now I'm standing there in front of like basic stuff, like, huh, I don't know. This doesn't make any sense anymore. Conversations with people, I was having slowed speech. They were like, are you good, man? Like, you know. Back to the crossing guard duty.
Yeah.
Having frustration issues and whatnot. I see my unit has come back, right? So they're all in the motor pool there, and they're walking back across to go to Aruba where it's all the tents and that. They get to come back, shower, and all that. First guy in line I see is my maintenance chief, and I'm not going to say his name because I am still holding the grudge there, okay? And see him and a couple other soldiers, and I go, hey, chief. He goes, what are you doing? And I go, I'm trying to get out of crossing guard. I've been trying to come back to you guys. You know, I got hit in the head. He's not aware of anything that's happened. He and I don't really agree on a base level as it is, but he's not in a command position. I'm a mechanic. We get it all done.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man, I got you. Come with me. Puts the other soldier in the crossing guard vest. Follow me. Go to the white cell commander's tent. And it's a little hard to talk about. It sounds silly as a 30-year-old man, but he did a 180 switch on me. He walked me into that office and locked me up at attention in front of a major and sergeant major that were for the white cell and told them to put me on every shit-stacking duty, garbage detail, and extra duty that I can or that he could get me on because I'm a lingering piece of shit soldier that doesn't deserve to be here.
Wow.
Which sounds made up, I admit. That would be, I didn't know at the time that this was filmed. So the other soldier that was with us, number three in the group, happened to go over to the doorway because it's Aruba, little junk buildings,
yeah,
and held his phone right to the door crack and filmed the entire thing. And then before leaving, distributed to multiple cell phone numbers in the unit. So that's not good.
No.
It ended up, I'm in tears, man, because I was like, this guy's supposed to have my back, and he just dumpstered me right in front. And they did. They put me on every shit stacking duty that they could. I was scrubbing port-a-johns. It was ridiculous. Happened to be that my first sergeant at the time and I crossed paths as I'm carrying toilet brushes and plungers to a port-a-john. And I'm like, I don't even know I have a plunger. They gave me the port-a-john.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. But literal cleaning supplies to port-a-johns in NTC. So if you can just think about that for a minute.
All yeah. Right. That's
not a great time.
Nope.
And she asked me, frankly, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, well, ma'am, for sergeant, I, you know, this is what happened. And she was flabbergasted. She's like, are you serious? And I said, yes, for sergeant. And she goes, well, let me go grab the commander. Goes and gets the commander, who was, we'll say, incompetent at the time. During the NTC rotation, we got gas attacked while she was asleep. And she said, will somebody please go deal with that? I did witness a full-bird colonel drag her out of her bed by her feet, which was pretty awesome. But it's one of those things where you're like, you're supposed to be my boss who's like, let's lead from the front. And you're like, nah.
Man, that's awesome.
Grabs the commander. They both sit down, listen to my story. First sergeant, so yeah, that's exactly what he told me the first time. Let's go get a video. Let's go find the video, which was not hard to do. So one of my friends ended up having it. And he, yeah, man, here it is. And he, I did not watch it just because I lived it. I didn't need to see it again. They went to the battalion commander, ended up telling him what was going on. Because again, it's a chief warrant officer. He doesn't really listen to my commander type deal. And he hemmed him up, allegedly. It didn't make it any better. As soon as we got back from NTC, man, the dude had just laser focus on me 100% of the time, no matter what. If it was PT related, you know, oh, we're going to give you tape and that, there was no leeway for anything, man. Best example, you have a dental appointment and you're in the Army. How many minutes are you supposed to be early?
15 minutes.
Okay. And that's because if you plan on being 15 minutes early and you're 5 minutes late, you're still 10 minutes early, right?
Yep, 100%.
Okay. I was 5 minutes late to 15 minutes prior, and they Article 15 me for 15 days extra duty.
Wow.
To a dental appointment. I was on time. The dentist didn't report. Nope. They followed me. You were late. Article 15.
That's insane.
Yep. Now, I'm not innocent, right? I was, at this point, not functioning correctly, arguing with NCOs, but I showed up for work every single day. I did my job and more, would stay until after I was required to do mechanical work that the new soldiers couldn't do. Service numbers had to get done. I would stay and do services, get them done. But when it would come to like, hey, we need you to donate $5 to the trunk or treat fund for the kids that, no. And because of that, plus the interactions with Chief, and it went poorly for me. I tried to 4187 to a different unit. Nope, lost it. Sorry, man, couldn't find it. It started to appear to like other people that I was being targeted.
Yeah.
So I luckily had a couple of good NCOs, and we got a change of command where I had a really great first sergeant. He is still one of my best friends, as far as I'm concerned. Probably one of the biggest reasons I'm still on planet Earth. I was completely destroyed every time I went to my unit and I'd have an issue. No. Oh, we didn't have anybody for snap duty? Throw Hexel on it. If he doesn't show up, we'll Article 15 him. It was crazy. And it wasn't just myself. If I associated with somebody else in the unit, target. They would tell people to stay away from, stay away from him because he's a bad soul, blah, blah, blah. Now, to paint you a picture, in basic training, I graduated at the top of my class. Okay. AIT, AAM, graduated top of my class, 100% the entire AIT, 100%. Pictures from when I was a kid, like a toddler, drawing pictures of how bad I wanted to be in the Army, of like little like Army guy, like, oh, he's got a machine gun and everything. I signed up to be an 18 X-ray. They told me at MEPS I couldn't do it because my credit score was bad and I'd make it through selection and everything and I'd be a liability, and which is true.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be the Army guy. We'd go to the field, something would go wrong, I would do it, man. Like, we got to dig foxholes? Yes, I want to do that. I was the expert machine gunner, expert rifle, every weapon system. I loved doing all the Army stuff. Bureaucracy killed it. And as soon as I got back to that unit at Fort Carson, it was just over, man. There was absolutely nothing I could do but wait out my time, as it like was a prison sentence, or hope for orders to a different unit. But as a 91 Charlie, it's just not happening. You don't exist. Points are 987 or whatever the max was. I'd been had, so to speak. My first sergeant came through, and he said, hey, look, man, I'm temporary, even me at the unit. He's like, I can't get you out of here. Orders are the only thing that are going to do it. And he goes, to be honest, you're a single contract at this point. You're over halfway through it. I don't think you're going to a different unit. He said, you should probably get chaptered. He says, it's your best bet. Now, being that I had just had this TBI or concussion, whatever you want to call it, back up a little bit, had a car accident on post within 2 weeks of getting back, got a second car, second concussion in the mix. Ended up doing a involuntary stay in the fifth floor of Evans Army Hospital for the old wanting to do the super sleep.
Yep.
And that's supposed to be a 72-hour hold, and I was able to talk my way out of a 72-hour hold at like 22 hours. Should not have been able to leave. They didn't do me any favors. I didn't do me any favors. But I'm now 10 years out and realizing this.
Yeah.
I realize the conversation's kind of going like this. That's part of it, man.
100% fine. This is your story to tell.
Yeah. I hope somebody else can keep track. The details are foggy, but they come and go. He suggested that I, obviously you just want out at this point. And he wasn't wrong. My every day was hell, dude. Like if you're in the Army and you're like nervous that you're doing offsite PT, because if you're late and you don't have a car, and if you're late to that, they'll Article 15 you.
Yeah.
So you're like, this is insane. Like, I'm too scared to be in the Army, and that's, right? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and, you know, people listening are probably like, is he exaggerating? I can 100% back you up. I've seen this happen. Like, this happens all the time in the Army.
I know it sounds unbelievable, but it's rare, but it happens. Everybody has met the soldier when they first get to their unit that they kind of get immediately told, hey, that guy's a shitbag.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. And you don't question it, because if you do, you become the new shitbag.
Yep.
That's kind of what happens, right? It sounds crazy. It can happen to you, unfortunately. Just run fast and then it won't happen to you. As long as you never fail a PT test, it can't happen to you, is my logic. That's
yep.
More of a joke than anything. First Sergeant basically said that the med board process was going to be iffy, so to speak. Which I didn't understand at the time, but I also didn't question.
Yeah.
He said, your fastest way out, and I think it would save your life, and according to my therapist in the Army as well, was to get out of the Army. So that's what I did. I walked up to a PT test, did 11 push-ups, and I stood up. And they were like, what are you doing? I said, well, 10 doesn't count. I'd have to restart, so I did 11. That was the attitude that I left the Army with, is that this is... I'm done.
Yeah.
I regret that deeply. It's one of my deepest regrets, and it's something I got to work on getting over. Because again, my entire life, I wanted to be the guy, the soldier, right? Is my logic was, I don't want to take a life, but if I have to, I want it to be an important life that needs taking.
Yeah.
Right. So, you don't want to be sitting there, and again, it's still a job that needs done, defending a fob, whatever it may be, and somebody tries to drive their Toyota at Mach 7 through the front gate. That has to happen, right? You got to take them out.
Yep.
But me, preferably, I'd like to knock on the really bad guy's door while he's asleep and say, hi, you know, and you're coming with us.
Yeah.
That was my logic going into it, and slowly... whether it be my own doing for the credit report or now, right, my thoughts of military service are long behind me, not eligible, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you wanted to do the thing, you didn't. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it was because you got hurt. Facts are facts. You can't do it now. How do you cope? So part of it is realizing that maybe you're not actually crazy. Maybe you get hurt from hitting the head and you didn't you didn't know it this whole time. I want to say too is that no matter what your mental disorder is, I don't really think you're crazy. We're all kind of on the same scale, just at different ends.
Right? I mean, the opposite of crazy is normal, and what's normal, right?
Normal, objective.
Yeah, exactly.
My normal would probably drive a lot of people crazy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, my primary career is I do a lot with compliance with DOT and OSHA. That's my normal, you know, and that people I work with, it drives crazy.
Yeah, I'd give you a heart attack if you got to be in compliance.
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah, so I ended up getting out of the Army. To give you kind of a fun story about that, the exact day that I left service, four of the soldiers that were in my squad, okay, this is a fun tidbit here. I don't know if you remember years ago, Fort Carson soldiers breaking and entering into another soldier's home and holding them at gunpoint over a PlayStation. It made CNN. They decided that they were going to get belligerently drunk, drive off post to another soldier's home, knock on his door, force entry, hold him and his family at gunpoint, take their PlayStation, and then just go back to Fort Carson like nothing happened. So it didn't pan out for them exactly how they thought it was going to go.
That's really strange because that sounds like such a concrete plan. Like, there's no holes at all.
Yep. Not really sure of the logic. I did get a lot of phone calls the next morning, and it was a lot of fun to go, not me. Nope, I'm not in that anymore. That's not me. That's not this guy. It's the best example of getting the CQ text and not being in the Army anymore. Just being like watching CNN going, oh, thank you for waiting a day.
You know, I see those all the time posted on Facebook, somebody messaging about something in the military and somebody's, you know, just messing with them, right? Because, I mean, shit, I would. So I saw one the other day. It was like, hey, I cut everybody loose, you know, because we wrapped up kind of early. And he was like, oh, yeah, you're good to go. And he was like, hey, have a great weekend or whatever. And then he was like, for real? And he was like, no, I'm just fucking with you because I've been out for like 2 years.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of guys scheduled to come in tomorrow. Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
For years.
Man.
That's too good, man.
My time out of the military, that's just, I sit here and I just wait for that text message. And I just hope for that day to happen.
You know, and on that note, I don't know about you. I'm sure everybody has little stories like that of people they might have been in the military with. So that's an example of a couple of CNN famous right there.
Yeah.
Found out a couple of years ago, same kind of deal. You're familiar with the gymnast Simone Biles?
Yeah.
Okay. So her, I believe it was half brother, was in my basic training class. Now, we didn't know this at the time. I'm trying to remember his first name, not important. Last name is the same. Now, this guy was not a super nice guy. He was kind of the opposite, so to speak, in basic training. But he was, you know, he made it through. He graduated with us and that. And I have graduation photos with him. Well, fast forward, I think it was a couple years ago now, he was arrested for, I think, quadruple homicide.
Okay.
So when you're in basic training and you think, man, that guy seems like he might be a murderer, he could be.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say to who.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you bring that up because everybody thinks, you know, the military is such a small community that we should, you know, all be the people who you know, wear the uniform well, right? All the good guys. But
yeah, some don't get caught through the filters, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to think we're just 1% of the American population.
I mean, I can tell you that I made it to basic training with people that I'm sure you guys all have this, where somebody was maybe appeared to be a little slow. And then you find out after the fact that, like, yeah, they were not very intelligent, and they actually get cut out of basic training because they have, like, an issue, intelligence issue. And their recruiters would just be so hard up that they would just, I didn't notice, you know. Yep. It makes it kind of sad when you realize that not everybody is from the same environment or has the same abilities, so to speak, and they get put into situations where it might not be fair to them.
Yeah, 100%. And not all recruiters, right? There are some good recruiters.
No. There are great recruiters. In fact, I was able to run into mine to about 16 months after he signed me up for the Army. He ended up getting transferred to my unit at Fort Carson.
Oh, wow.
And I was able to walk up and tap him on the shoulder and ask him, are you proud? Are you proud to see me here? Are you excited? And he's like, I'm so sorry, man. And I was like, you did this. You know that, right?
I don't know. I don't know what my recruiter would say. My recruiter was like, oh, okay, so.
He looked nervous, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
He really nervous.
I mean, I would say so, because, you know, my recruiter was like, oh, yeah, you know, you don't do PT outside the morning hours of 6 and 7, right?
Wow.
And then he was like, it's always 8 to 5 when you're stateside. He said it's a little longer hours when you're deployed. I was like, man, this sounds great. You know?
Wow.
And,
sign me up.
Yeah. I mean, first unit, you know, we came in at 3 a.m. and we didn't leave that until like 2100, right? So for everybody listening, that's 9 o'clock at night. I mean, it's ridiculous. But yeah, you know, they're great recruiters, but they're also some good recruiters.
There are a bunch of great folks all across the board in the military. There are some folks that they're in the military. That's all I'm saying. They did it. They did the same stuff I did to get there, right?
So, yep. And I mean, we can say it because we've seen it, right? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, it's not make-believe, man. I went to basic training with a kid that he did not ever do a load of laundry in his entire life and had not seen a load of laundry done is his entire life. And we had to teach him to do laundry.
Yep.
In basic training. People do not understand until you see it. I went there with people that did not speak English very well. That there's a language barrier with folks that you have to communicate with.
Yeah.
You see some wild stuff, man. Meeting a grown person that doesn't know how or understand the concept of doing laundry and is from the continental United States is a little wild. You know, you start laying there at night talking to each other, and you realize that maybe that guy actually has dirt floors in his house.
Yeah.
And you don't think about that in 2025. No. It's like that is a real thing. There are still people out there with dirt floors that don't have running water in their homes. And that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's insane to even think about. But, I mean, there were so many people there that I met. Speaking of the language barrier, I think one.
Which, by the way, the language barrier folks are the best soldiers.
Yes.
They're
awesome.
Unstoppable machines, dude.
Yeah. They are awesome. I had, I believe, 4 at least in my platoon that were there to get their citizenship, right? That's the route they took.
Yeah. Which, by the way, commendable. Great job.
Absolutely. I mean, I had a soldier there from South Korea. I had a soldier there from Jamaica. You know, I mean, it was just It was awesome to see. It was amazing. But the language barrier was there. But, you know, I mean, you just get this mash. And, yeah, people are right. The military people is only 1% of the population. That's how few people are in the military. But it's a mix of all the culture across the country. And even from some other countries. Huh?
It's guac, man. The
green
stuff holds you together.
Yeah, you know? You're right. Man, when I was in, I didn't have to pick an outfit for work, right? I just got up, put on the same exact thing, even though it was a different uniform. Looked exactly like the one I had on yesterday. I didn't have to worry about what to wear until Saturday. And at that time, it was usually sweatpants and a t-shirt, right?
Yeah. And the only weird part is when you get out, now you have to start thinking again.
Yeah.
About all that.
Yeah.
And it's a switch. It is a big switch. It can be jarring.
Yes.
For a lot of people, myself included. It took a long time for me to realize that, oh, I don't have to be so hard on this guy for being 5 minutes late because it doesn't matter.
Man, I've got a story. So, obviously, I was going through the med board process. I'd hurt my back. You know, I covered this in my episodes. But I was sitting down to do a Zoom interview, and I was on my lunch. It was 11:45, and the interview was scheduled for 12 to 1. And, you know, I know I'm getting out of the Army, but I'm still in my uniform because I still got a report. You know how that goes. Even if you are getting out, you still got a report to the unit, right? So I'm sitting there and it's 10 minutes till the interview time and I'm the only one on the screen. And I'm just staring at a blue blank screen, right? And I look up the clock and it's 5 minutes till the interview time. And I'm like, what the fuck are these people doing?
Dude, that was me yesterday. I promise. It doesn't stop.
So they,
oh man,
they got on like 2 minutes late. It took all I had in me to not just absolutely lose my shit on the people that are interviewing me, right? Because I need them to give me a job. They don't need me.
Yes.
But I'm just like, are you serious? You can't show up to the 15 minutes prior?
Like, man.
You know, I was just absolutely losing it.
It is unbelievable. How long it takes for you to have the ability to look outside of the situation and realize, oh, I'm actually the weird one here. The rest of the world is moving at 10% of this speed.
Yeah.
For example, you go to the grocery store. This is my biggest one that I noticed is that everyone seems like they're an NPC.
Yeah.
You're walking past people and it seems like you're a fighter jet because you're like, I'm here for bread, oranges, and milk. And that is all I'm looking at. And I go to bread and then I go to oranges and then I go to milk and that's it. And then I go to the self-checkout. And then by the time you come back out to the doors, the same guy is standing by the apples. And you're like, how does this guy get anything done in his life? You know? And you're like, well, actually, that guy's enjoying himself.
Yeah.
He's not running at 120 beats a minute, just trying to get the grocery done as fast as he can so he doesn't have to interact with any human beings.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah,
exactly.
Why?
And it translates into everything for me. I don't know how it is for you, but like at work now, if my boss looks at me and says, hey, I'm thinking about doing this and, you know, let's put it together this way. And he kind of talks me through it. And I'm like, okay, I understand. And he's like, yeah, let's see if we can get that done in the next week or two. And I'm like, yeah, cool. And then the next day I'm like, hey, that thing we were talking about, it's done. What do you want me to do with it now? And he's like, well, now you have to wait 2 weeks. I'm like,
right.
For what? He was like, to keep moving.
Oh man. It is frustrating when, it makes you wonder if you could just, for lack of a better term, weaponize the autism a little bit. Because it's unstoppable, man. Like, it just, it works. You're like, yeah, I'm an efficiency machine. So if you give me a task, I'm going to complete it as fast as possible so that I don't have to do anything until you give me another task.
Yeah.
And that's the army way of life. It's hurry up and wait. And it's, you don't realize it, but it's kind of nice. It gets you pretty efficient, but you can burn out pretty easy, right? So you're like, yeah, 2 weeks, that's no problem.
Yeah.
I won't stress about that. But instead, you'll stay up for 18 hours and crunch it to death. Be like, yeah, here it is, 2 weeks early.
Yeah.
Hope you're happy. And yeah. They're like, well, no.
It's yeah. Not new yet. Yeah. And I mean, he, you know, he'll tell me, he's like, man, I love it. It's like point and shoot, right? He's like, I tell you to do it and you're on it. He's like, but could you slow it down? He's,
yep.
You know,
I've heard that too. Another issue with that can be that you become the point and shoot guy.
Right? Yeah.
So you're the magic button. And eventually the magic button hits an immovable object, and now it's all the magic button's fault.
Yep.
So I've been there before where, you know, I start out a new job, and as everybody does, you're a little eager. You'll take the overtime. You need the money, whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden, you got everybody asking, well, you want to take my weekend shift? No. Well, actually, I'll take it because I need the money. And you're like, well, I've actually not had a weekend off in 8 months. I made a ton of money.
Yeah.
My wife's mad. you know? And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I hate this job now. And like,
yeah.
Why? And you're like, well, I'm tired of it. Why are you tired of it? Because you work 72 hours a week and you don't take any time off. And your boss doesn't care because boss guy, he gets all of his work done right when
yep.
he wants it. Just right like that, right? So. The work-life balance is a hard thing to juggle, especially with mental health issues, right? So, on that note, I have not worked in a little bit over a year. Been able to scrape by with savings and, you know, moving money around from accounts and that. But now that all of my mental health and VA disability stuff is starting to kick in and line up, where I had a meeting last week where not another example of medical incompetence, I had a back claim in for my L5S1 T8, 9, and 10 degenerative disc disease. I have a slip disc on my back. I'm actually sitting on a little donut right now. That the degenerative disc disease, long story short, was present in the Army, aggravated. Right. So
yep.
They denied my claim for no stenosis of the spine, blah, 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 I go through. The only catch on that is that part of the evidence that was uploaded is almost 180 degrees opposite of the VA's reasoning for denying the claim is all wrong. So it's like they looked at it and were like, write the opposite.
Yeah.
So I asked my rep why, you know, how could this possibly happen if a set of human eyes looked at it? And his response to me was, I don't think human eyes looked at it. What do you mean? He goes, they've been using a lot of AI within the VA. So strap in for that. I'm not sure exactly how that happens, but we resubmitted a higher level appeal on Friday. And he said it's really cut and dry, like it was the first time.
Yeah.
They should be able to actually look at it, have a phone call with you and I, work our way through it. But I guess my message to everybody would be, as tired as you are, as hard as it is to make any sort of a step towards getting yourself VA help or mental help, just going to your doctor can be hard. It, no matter what, it can be difficult. But the alternative to that is you die and nobody knows why.
Yep.
Right. So, and that's kind of blunt. It's kind of horrible. A lot of things on planet Earth can take you. You're the only one that has the opportunity and the chance to stop some of those things with forward thinking and work. So if you can go talk to somebody for an hour a week, 5 minutes, whatever it may be, it'll put you in a better spot. It might not be immediate. It's hard to do. Sometimes I just cry in my car, yell. It don't matter. There's all kinds of ways to do it. Even getting help for if you have knee pain, if you have joint pain, it's wearing on you. I promise you, it is tearing you down without you noticing it. You can get frustrated through your day, take it out on your spouse or yell at coworkers, whatever it may be. And it could be as little as you have a foot problem and it's been hurting for so long that your body is just, it's tired of forcing that pain down. Get help, whatever it may be. It's not scary. To me, I was all nervous about going to see VA mental health because we live in Michigan. We have red flag laws. I like guns. I'm not dangerous. I've never had any ideation to take my life with a firearm or anything like that. But that's not up to me to decide, right? So if the county decides that, hey, this veteran here, he has bipolar disorder and anxiety, and he's got a whole bunch of guns and everything, that's a red flag. You're careful, right, on what you say to people, and it makes you hold back things. But I can tell you that here I am. Nobody's come knocked on my door, and nobody's going to, as far as I'm concerned. It's worth it to get the help. Above all else, it will destroy your life if you do not do it. And the longer you wait, the more of your life that gets destroyed. So it's really, really important. As somebody myself who's fought with it for a decade now, due to getting bumped in the head. I mean, it could be something so silly that, you know, you get hit in the head and your aftercare is the exact worst possible care that could happen, and that's all it takes. Stroke of bad luck, get another hit in the head 2 weeks later, get a second concussion, solidify everything, make it all scrambled spaghetti. So it doesn't take much. Getting over the fact that, you know, there might be some veterans out there that are rated at a lower percentage than what you are, that have what you deem as bigger issues. It's not your decision. The benefits are there for all of us. I'm not telling anybody to go malinger. I'm not telling anybody to lie on their stuff, but be honest. Don't hold back because you're worried that the doctor might look at you funny when you say, yeah, you know, what's my reason for being here today? I'd like to stop getting into yelling arguments with my wife. Over silly things, like things you couldn't possibly imagine yelling at someone for, and you want to stop doing it. You try to stop doing it, you can't stop. That means you need to go get help.
Yep. Exactly.
You know. So if your brakes go out on your car when you push the pedal and you're not a mechanic, what do?
Take it to a mechanic.
You either get crash or you get a tow, or you crash or you get a tow truck.
Yep.
So, you need help. That's pretty much all I got as far as that goes. Any other input would be.
Yeah, I mean.
Are there any questions for me?
You know, the not necessarily really any questions. You know, a lot of the things that you're talking about, different injuries, different wavelengths, different, you know, paths, but kind of the same thing, right? I've fought with the VA for the last 3 years about getting back surgery. Because that's why I got out of the army, right?
My, and they won't give you the surgery.
Well, there, I'm getting it next month. Finally,
well, there you go.
Finally getting it.
See, the light is at the end of the tunnel.
It is. It is, but
it's just a long ass tunnel.
Oh man! And then, for some reason, like you can see the light, and then a curve pops up, and the light kind of goes away. You got to get around this curve to find the light again.
That's exactly right. Is that through your fight to get benefits? It's not a straight shot.
No.
It is going to make you angry. It is going to make you very upset. It's going to make you say why. But it, like you're saying, how many years and now you're getting the surgery that you need. So, yep.
You know,
just another example of you got to go through it to get to the good at the end of it.
Look, I did so much physical therapy. I did chiropractor. I did acupuncture. I did interventional pain management. I did 9 different steroid injections to my back.
I had my first round a month ago. I go back on Monday to see if they worked.
Yeah? Did you get any relief?
Yeah. It was kind of interesting. The first few days felt really good. Now it feels like not as bad as before, but in a different spot, it's worse. So,
yeah.
Which they did say, you know, they gave me injections, the L5-S1, both sides. And the doctor did say, you know, that you're adding a little bit of steroid there, a little cushion. Your back issues, your 8, 9, and 10 could now have a little bit more pain because if you're cushioned down here, the shock has to go somewhere. It's going to find, you know, it makes sense. And that's exactly what happened. So my questions are for him is that, can you do the injections in the 8, 9, and 10? And if that helps and this one's better, I don't need surgery. So if that's not the case, the 8, 9, and 10 surgery is not something that I really want to have.
Yeah.
That's one of the – you walk like Frankenstein and you're not jumping on trampolines anymore. And, not that I am now. But.
Yeah. not that you are now, but now you have the option, right? If you wanted to jump on a trampoline, you could.
I can't, yeah. I can't want to do that.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, I don't have anything. I appreciate you coming on and doing this interview and sharing your story. I know, you know, a lot of us struggle through sharing our stories. It's really helped me, and I hope maybe it kind of helps you, and I hope that us together on this kind of help somebody else.
Absolutely, man. Like I said, I really appreciate you having me on. I apologize to the listeners that have to try to piece together my story in order there. It doesn't make sense. That's okay. It's mine. So
yeah, there you go. That's all that matters.
Awesome, man.
So I do want to share something with you real quick. Kind of debated in my head how to do this. I've got another interview scheduled. And she is the mother of a Marine who, regretfully is no longer with us. Okay. And he, had a TBI and, you know, he just couldn't get around it, couldn't get past it. She wanted me to personally let you know, because I didn't tell her anything about you, didn't tell her your name, nothing like that. Just told her. Had an interview with Army veteran who is wanting to share his story. And she said that she wanted me to let you know that she is proud of you. She's told me that she's proud of me. And she said that, you know, we're doing amazing things and she has joined the fight to help us with mental health as well. So as soon as I can get her on the show, she'll be on here talking about her son, Alex. But she wanted to personally tell you that she's proud of you and thank you.
Yeah, well, that hits hard, man. Like really hard.
Yeah.
Thank you. I lost my mom in 2020 to cancer. So, as somebody who's on the other side of that, you know, she lost her son and I lost my mom. That hits pretty good. I hope that she can find some solace in knowing that, I was not expecting that. There's a lot, lot to take in there. About that.
No, you're good, man. It her strength.
I definitely appreciate it. It means a lot more to me than I think she probably knew. The love is there for sure.
Yeah. I mean, her strength is amazing.
I can't imagine being on her side. And that's part of the reason I'm still here, right? Is that I've got lucky where I just maybe blabbed in front of the wrong people, right, and got some help. You know, you say the wrong joke in front of the wrong crowd, everybody looks at you a little goofy, and you go, oh, shit. But, man, I really appreciate that.
All right, man. Again, Andrew, it's been great. Thank you for sharing your story. I really appreciate you coming on. And, you know, I can't wait for you to hear this. And then you give me your blessing, yes or no, if we're gonna air it. Can't wait for that. Now, if don't know where I was going with that again. Hey, sometimes I wish I edited these episodes, right?
Hey, it's a little bit of a longer one, and we just had a little tearjerker. It's all good.
Yeah.
Man. If you got nothing and I got nothing, we can thumbs up and hit the trail.
I think so, man. All right. Everybody listening, I appreciate you guys. Love y'all. See y'all next week. Thank you. Thank you.